worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Park. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Psalms, to begin with Psalm 100, beginning at verse 1. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. All of Psalm 100. Then looking in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10, it tells us these words of wisdom. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Verses 10 through 20, Ephesians chapter 6. Father, we thank you for the wisdom and the grace, the power and the mercy that we find in the wonderful book of Psalms. Thank you for how that we find that not only in Psalms, but in every book of the Bible. Thank you for the ways your word is a blessing of strength and encouragement. And your word is a weapon and is full of many weapons, weapons that help us to battle the kingdom of darkness and tear down the kingdom of darkness and build your kingdom of light. More and more empower us to be faithful hearers and doers of your word, and help us to fall more in love with you and with your word as well. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer with us at this time.
Father, we're so thankful for this group of listeners that you have gathered together today to hear what Joseph has to say. And we pray, Father, they will listen with your ears, that they will listen to the things that you have to say to them. Think of, Father, those who are incarcerated. We have many those who contact us over time. And God, we pray that you will be near to them, that you will strengthen them, that you will put a song in their hearts. We're thankful for the way that you watch over them and take care of them. Father, we think of those who are isolated today in other ways. They're lonely, Father. We pray that you would be near to them, that they would just feel a nearness from you today. You would stir their hearts. You would draw them close to yourself. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Rick. Thank you again for being a part of our listening family. And we'd like to continue to remind and encourage you to please take time to go to our AFA Resource Center. You can visit the AFA Resource Center by going to resources.afa.net. Again, that's resources.afa.net. And this is a marketplace to provide products and tools to help inform you on issues and matters from a Bible perspective, help equip and activate you and the members of your family to be involved in the work of being salt and light in a world that desperately needs the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll find lots of resources, books, and other items there in the bookstore. We encourage you to stop by and pick up some of the great resources and join thousands of others in helping to transform our culture and our world. Once again, go to resources.afa.net. Again, That's the AFA online bookstore, of course. Again, it's resources.afa.net. The AFA Resource Center is a ministry of the American Family Association. Today, specifically, we're looking at the topic, the spiritual weapons of thanksgiving, praise, and worship. And as we look at this topic again, the spiritual weapons of thanksgiving, praise, and worship, you know, it's very wise for us to understand that all of the Word of God is a weapon. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. Yet there are many weapons within the weapon of the Word of God, and we're wise as believers to read the Word of God, learn more about the weaponry found within God's Word, and put it to work. Now, as much as many of us might think to ourselves that we really don't want to be involved in spiritual warfare, the reality is we don't have a choice. Spiritual warfare has come to all of us, and so we're wise to seek to become well-equipped spiritual warriors that know how to go forth and tear down the kingdom of darkness and build the kingdom of light. So hope that that's a desire on your part as a disciple and follower of Christ to be a kingdom warrior who knows how to do battle and to defeat the enemy on any given day. Again, our key weapon, our chief weapon, of course, is the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. And so as we look in some of the passages, we'll be looking further at these specific topics then. But I invite you to look once again. I read Ephesians 6 verses 10 to 20. I'm going to read it again. And I want you to listen to the wisdom God has shared with us here as he talks to us about putting on the full armor of God and the different weapons and a weaponry that he speaks of in this passage. Again, Ephesians 6 verses 10 to 20. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now again, notice amongst other things, the scripture specifically speaks of the Word of God as being the sword of the Spirit, as we mentioned a few moments ago. Verse 17, the whole verse states specifically, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Again, the most powerful weapon in the universe is the Word of God. And as believers, we're wise to learn how to use it wisely. And so as we specifically look at the topic, the spiritual weapons of thanksgiving, praise, and worship, I want you to keep in mind that there are many passages in the Word of God that would fall into the category of being passages that address passages about thanksgiving or praise or worship. And of course, especially often our minds and thoughts would often go to the book of Psalms, because remember, one of the key themes throughout the book of Psalms is, of course, worship of God. And worship is a wonderful weapon, a powerful weapon that we as believers are wise to use. When we begin to worship and praise God, it can begin to cause the enemy to become confused and discouraged and to tear down the weaponry and the kingdom of darkness, because praise is such a wonderful and a powerful weapon. So we're wise to take time to thank and praise and worship God often. Father, thank you once again for the wonderful ways that your word teaches us, guides us, and encourages us to live lives of thanksgiving, praise, and worship. Father, anoint us all today afresh with the spirit of thanksgiving, praise, and worship. Empower us to be believers that faithfully live lifestyles full of thanksgiving, praise, and worship. Help us to know, Lord, that as we simply read your word and obey, that we will be walking in this wisdom. And help us to know, Lord, that we're wise to really look for the commandments found within your word. And as we hear them and do them, they better equip us and empower us to be more faithful kingdom warriors who know how to go out and do battle and defeat the enemy in every situation. Thank you for this opportunity, and thank you again for how that your word guides, teaches, molds, and shapes us to become the kingdom warriors of thanksgiving, praise, and worship that you want us to be. I thank you, and I praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Looking once again briefly at Psalm 100, a short psalm, only 5 short verses, but a powerful psalm that reminds us about the importance of thanksgiving, praise, and worship. Reading Psalm 100 one more time. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Keep in mind, the Holy Spirit indwells every believer all over the world. We have the wonderful Holy Spirit inside of us. The Holy Spirit is many things. He's a fire. He's a river. He's the helper. He's the hand of God. He's the power of God. He's the grace of God and many other things. As believers, it's helpful for us to know that as we obey God and as we take time to give thanks, praise, and worship to the Lord, we're living out one of John Wesley's terms. He used the term means of grace, that was his term for spiritual habits. Well, if we make it a habit to daily live a lifestyle of thanksgiving, praise, and worship, amongst other things, it stirs up the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. And as the Holy Spirit is stirred up, again, God is able to work, flow through us more mightily, and use us more fruitfully as we move in the power of the Holy Spirit. So notice again, the psalm begins, it has a command. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Well, how do we obey a command like that? Shout to the Lord, hallelujah, praise God, thank you for your goodness, thank you for your grace, thank you for your mercy. Any of a number of ways, a shout of praise and thanksgiving, that's how we obey. And remember, when you read any passage, look for the commands. And when you find the commands, do what they say. That's how we put God's word to work. That's how we're obedient. That's how the Spirit of God can and will use us. So it says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Again, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you. We praise you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for eternal life. Thank you for health and strength. Thank you for the chance to know you, to be able to serve you, to be able to walk with you and to be vessels and ambassadors for your kingdom. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, the second verse says, serve the Lord with gladness. Choose to walk in gladness and in joy. Choose to do that. Now, you might think, well, I just don't feel joyful today. I don't feel like it. Well, keep in mind, remember, the Holy Spirit's inside of you. And amongst other things, the Holy Spirit is a river of joy. And you can dip into that river of joy that we have in the Holy Spirit anytime you choose to. So, yes, we can choose to serve the Lord with gladness if we simply do it. We decide and choose to be glad and full of the joy of the Lord, to stir that joy up on the inside of us. So, yes, we can choose to do that. So, verse 2, the command is serve the Lord with gladness. Every day choose to serve the Lord with gladness. The second portion of that verse is come before his presence with singing. Believers are wise to sing songs of praise and worship and thanksgiving every day, several times during the day. It's an act of worship, praise, and thanksgiving. Thanking God for his goodness, thanking him for his praise and worship and his worship and the opportunity to worship him as well. So again, once again, note, it's a command. Come before his presence with singing. Begin your times of worship, prayer, and praise with a time of praising and worshiping God in song. We're looking today at the topic, the spiritual weapons of thanksgiving, praise, and worship. We'll be right back.
My heart, consume my heart with your love. You have captured my heart, consume my heart with your love. You have captured,
you have captured my heart.
Consume,
consume my heart with your love.
Say you
have captured my heart. Consume my heart with your love.
Say it like you mean it. Timothy, say you have captured.
You have captured
my heart.
My heart.
Consume,
consume
my heart.
My heart with your love.
One more time, say
you have captured my heart. Consume my heart with your love.
And
if all I say is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus,
that's more than enough.
If all I say all I say is Jesus, 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 that's more than enough.
The music of Dunson Oyekan. If all I say is Jesus. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, the spiritual weapons of thanksgiving, praise, and worship. And so as we are looking at this topic right now, we're looking specifically at Psalm 100. And remember, when you read the Word of God, amongst other things, look for the commands. And remember, when God commands us to do something, remember that's what it is. It's a command. He's telling us to do something. But remember, there's always blessing on the other side of obedience. There's always an outpouring of grace on the other side of obedience. So as we go through Psalm 100, note the commands and do them. Make it your point, make it your specific goal to carry out the commands found there. Picking up at verse 2 again, it says, serve the Lord with gladness. That is, we choose to allow the gladness and the joy of the Lord to flow through us. Because again, remember, yes, it can be a choice, because the Holy Spirit, the river of joy, is inside of us. All we have to do is choose to stir him up, and we can do that anytime we choose to. The latter part of verse 2, come before his presence with singing. Singing and praising the Lord throughout the day or at different times in the day is just a wise tool and weapon for believers to use. Remember, every act of obedience is the use of a spiritual weapon in a given setting. So when we read the Word of God, we're battling the darkness. When we obey the Word of God, we're battling the darkness. When we sing songs of praise and worship to God, we're battling the darkness. And so obedience to God's word is a wonderful and a powerful way to build up the kingdom of God and to tear down the kingdom of darkness. So make it a goal to sing and praise God often throughout the day. The third verse says, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Again, note the command. Know that the Lord, he is God. Spend time thinking and meditating on the fact that God is God and we are not. He made us. We didn't make ourselves. Though some people may act as if they did make themselves and have no responsibility or have no need to give appreciation to God and his goodness and his mercy. Yet the fact is, God made every human being in the world and we did not make ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So spend time thinking and meditating on the fact that God is God. Remember, God is eternal. That means our Heavenly Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they were here long, long before we ever got here, long before creation. Remember, God has no beginning and he has no end. Now, we can't even wrap our minds around that, but God never had a beginning and he'll never have an end. God was not created. He is the creator. And God created the universe, and the universe is so vast and big that too we can't comprehend how big it is, and it's still expanding. Verse 3 again says, know that the Lord, he is God. Spend time thinking about the bigness of God, the greatness of God, the power of God, the vastness of God. Verse 4 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. As we begin our day, it's wise to wake up in the morning and give thanks and praise to God. Speak the word of God. Acknowledge God in your prayer time, or just acknowledge God as you wake up. You know, whether you're on your knees or just getting up. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for letting me see another day. Thank you for eternal life. Thank you for health and strength. Thank you for family and loved ones. Thank you for homes to live in and clothes to wear. It's so wise to live a life of thankfulness. Again, it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Thank and praise God as a lifestyle. Remember this, people that are genuinely grateful to God for his goodness, for his mercy and his love are instantly rich in the truest sense of the word. Remember, all of life is a gift from the hand of God. God didn't have to give us anything. And so in the truest sense of the word, people that are genuinely grateful are genuinely rich in the truest sense of the word. So again, verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Have you thanked God for letting you see another day today? Have you thanked him for eternal life? Have you thanked him for the loved ones that you have? God is so good to all of us. Father, thank you once again for the wonderful, blessed, and precious gift of eternal life. Thank you for the opportunity to know you and to be able to serve and follow you. Thank you for your word and the blessing the Bible, the word of God is. Thank you for the opportunity any time of the day or night to be able to open your powerful eternal word and hear from you. Hear words of power, grace, blessing, and encouragement. Words that will bless our lives, that will lift us up, that will encourage us, and that will minister to us. What a gift your word is to us. Thank you for the chance for us to be ambassadors in your kingdom. Thank you for the chance to be used by you. Hallelujah, Lord. Empower us to be the grateful people, the praising, worshiping people you want us to be. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for being the wonderful and blessed Heavenly Father that you are to us. In spite of all the challenges and things going on in the world, Father, you really do run our cups over every single day. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, the final verse of Psalm 100 tells us, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Well, what a wonderful set of truths that last verse remind us and tell us and remind us of. It lets us know God is good. You know, though people or circumstances, and obviously Satan would want you to think otherwise, but God is a good God. God is love. God is full of grace and mercy and loving kindness and full of forgiveness. He's a good God. He's a God that can be trusted, a God that we can look to. And the more we read and study the Word of God, the more we get to know the goodness of the Heavenly Father, that is our Heavenly Father, who he is and what he comes to do. The second sentence says, his mercy is everlasting. God is everlasting, and so is his mercy everlasting as well. And the last sentence says, and his truth endures to all generations. We have the wonderful book that we call the Bible, the written word of God. And the truths found in this book are eternal. They'll go on forever and ever and ever. And so we're wise to read and study the word of God every day and draw on the blessing that's ours. It's wise for us as believers to understand that in all of life, one of the most fruitful pastimes is opening God's word and reading and meditating. Remember, when you open the Bible, the God of the universe is talking to you. He's speaking words of guidance and counsel and wisdom and encouragement and comfort and power into your life. Again, it is so fruitful to spend time with your Heavenly Father. And remember this, God will spend as much time with you in the word as you'll spend with him. If you spend 5 minutes reading and meditating on scripture, God will spend that full time with you. If you spend an hour reading and meditating on scripture, God will make time to spend all that time with you. Why? Because God wants us to know the blessing that his word really is to us. He wants us to come to better and better understand what a great blessing it is. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the chance for us to read and meditate on your word each and every day. Thank you for Psalm 100 and the wisdom and the power there. Help us to be wise enough to obey your word. Help us to always look for the commands found within a given passage and to make it our goal to apply the wisdom found in that passage. Help us to know, Lord, that on the other side of every command that we obey, there's blessing and there's grace to be poured out. Thank you for the opportunity to do that. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. I want to take a moment now to share an article that we wrote that was on the AFA stand entitled, An Attitude of Gratitude is Its Own Reward. And if you'd like to get a copy of the article, just email us at jparker@afa.net. We'd be glad to share it with you. Again, the article's title is An Attitude of Gratitude is Its Own Reward. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 tells us, In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Why is it so important to give thanks to God in the good times and the bad, in the sunshine and in the rain? Well, one reason is that life is a gift. Another reason is thanksgiving and praise are powerful weapons that help you to be an overcomer and winner in life. This is true no matter what the obstacles or trials you face. Allow me to share a tremendous illustration of this reality and truth. Francis had what many would consider a tough, tragic, and troubled life. A doctor's error left her at 6 weeks of age with lifelong blindness. Her father passed away when she was very young. She was raised by her grandmother, mother and grandmother. Many in today's world would believe Francis had plenty of reasons to be unhappy, depressed, and without hope in this world. However, in her autobiography, Frances June Crosby chose to write these amazing words, It seemed intended by the blessed providence of God that I should be blind all my life, and I thank him for the dispensation. In other words, I thank him for the gift of blindness. The doctor who made the mistake later moved away. However, Frances wrote, If I could meet him now, I would say, thank you, over and over again for making me blind. Though many may conclude that living a life with blindness would be a sad, disappointing life, Frances considered it to be one of her greatest blessings. She considered her blindness to be a gift from God. She said, I could not have written thousands of hymns if I'd been hindered by the distractions of all the interesting and beautiful objects that would have been presented to my notice. By the way, many know Frances June Crosby so much better by the name Fanny Crosby, the great hymn and songwriter. Fanny Crosby blessed the church and the world with songs that include Blessed Assurance, To God Be the Glory, Redeemed, All the Way My Savior Leads Me, and many, many others. She is a tremendous example of one who lived with a grateful spirit and an attitude of gratitude. Having this attitude was a great blessing to her, and she in turn was a great blessing to the church and to the world. In her lifetime, she wrote over 8,000 hymns or songs. Make it your goal to thank God in all circumstances, for even in tough times, God really does run our cups over in blessing in so many ways. Take time to thank and praise him for his goodness. Don't focus on the negative things in life. Focus on the blessings. It will change your whole outlook on life. Also, being grateful to God for his goodness will stir up your joy. Be mindful, too, that being genuinely grateful makes you instantly rich in the truest sense of the word. Ask God to anoint you today with the spirit of praise and gratitude. Instead of complaining about the rain, thank God for watering his beautiful world for free. Instead of complaining about not feeling well, thank God you are alive. Instead of complaining about having to clean your house, thank God that you have a home to live in. Instead of being impatient with family members, thank God for the gift your loved ones are to you. Instead of complaining about your job, thank God that you have a job and an income. Instead of complaining about the world, thank God for the opportunity to pray and help change the world to be a better place. Give thanks in all things. And do remember, being a genuinely grateful person will bless you tremendously. Praise and thank God often daily throughout the day. Living life with an attitude of gratitude really is its own reward. Again, the title of that article was An Attitude of Gratitude is Its Own Reward. And if you'd like to get a copy, simply email us at jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. And I always like to share the wonderful testimony of the life of Fanny Crosby because she's a believer that grasped an important truth in her life and in her lifestyle that's so powerful. When we live with an attitude of gratitude, praise, and thanksgiving that stirs up the activity of the Holy Spirit inside of us and through our lives. And you know, when we're wise enough to do that, the Holy Spirit will work through us more and more mightily. In fact, He can do exploits through us. Remember, though Fanny Crosby was blind from age 6 weeks old to 95, God has used her to touch the world in a way that many others who had sight and many other blessings that she may not have had, you know, in other words, she was used mightily of the Lord. And so a key was she stirred up the Holy Spirit at work in her life through stirring up the joy of the Lord, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity you give us to live with an attitude of gratitude, praise, and thanksgiving. Help us, Lord, more and more to be wise enough to stir up the Holy Spirit through a lifestyle of praise, worship, and thanksgiving. Help us to know, Lord, that you're ready to do exploits, powerful things through all of us as we simply live in such a way that we stir the Holy Spirit up inside of us. You told us in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Help us through praise, worship, and thanksgiving to allow that joy to flow more and more mightily in us and through us every day. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. As we look at the topic, the spiritual weapons of thanksgiving, praise, and worship. We'll be right back. Music of Elevation Worship with Oh Sing. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, the spiritual weapons of thanksgiving, praise, and worship. And we as believers are wise to grow an understanding of how important it is that we make this a lifestyle. Remember, whether you perceive it or not, yes, these are weapons. They're spiritual weapons in the Word of God. being a person that expresses thanksgiving, praise, and worship to the Lord is so much more important than any of us realize. So I want to look at a few additional passages in this final segment of the broadcast, specifically as we look now in the book of Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, beginning at verse 11, and tells us these words. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. Again, verses 11 to 19, Luke chapter 17. Well, again, a powerful story, a very straightforward story found in one of the Gospels, the Gospel of Luke. 10 lepers came across paths with the Lord Jesus, and they cried out for help. And they asked Jesus, Jesus, have mercy on us. And when Jesus saw them, he simply told them, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they were going, they were healed and completely cleansed. Yet of the 10 lepers, only one of them came back after he saw he was healed and with a loud voice glorified God. He fell down on his face at Jesus' feet and gave him thanks. And this particular person was a Samaritan. Notice how Christ reacted. He asked the question, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Notice this. The Lord Jesus was looking for gratitude. He was expecting gratitude. And he certainly has every right to expect it. All the blessings we have in life are from the hand of God. God is looking for gratitude. How often do we genuinely express gratitude and thanks and praise to God for his goodness? God blesses us in so many ways every day. Again, thank you, Father, again, for the wonderful gift of eternal life. Thank you for health and strength. Thank you for the opportunity to open your word and spend time with you in your word each and every day. Thank you for the opportunity to come to you in prayer each and every day. Thank you for being a Heavenly Father that hears the prayers of his children every single day. Thank you for the gift of family, friends, and loved ones. Thank you for the opportunity to spend time with you and to spend time with family and loved ones. Thank you for the opportunity to serve you, Lord, to be able to follow you, to be a vessel through which you can work to carry out your will. Father, thank you for the blessings of being able to live in a country that is as blessed as our nation is. And thank you for the opportunity to be involved in the work of the spread of the gospel in our own communities, in our nation, and in the world. Father, you run our cups over in so many ways. Thank you for the wonderful gifts of eternal life. We thank you and praise you for your guidance, your mercy, and your grace, and your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, make it your goal to not be amongst those that receive abundantly from our Heavenly Father, yet rarely, if ever, take time to thank and praise and worship God for his goodness, for his grace, for his mercy, and his love. A powerful story is found in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 20, a very powerful and unique story found in the Word of God. It tells us these words. It happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them, besides the Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they're in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand, is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Now all Judah with their little ones, their wives, and their children stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord, and who should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were their dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Barakah, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of that place was called the Valley of Barakah until this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, with Jehoshaphat in front of them, to go back to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. So they came to Jerusalem with stringed instruments and harps and trumpets to the house of the Lord, and the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. Then the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest all around. Verses 1 through 30, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Now this is a unique and a powerful chapter in the Word of God, but a wonderful illustration of how seeking God and giving him thanks, praise, and worshiping him are such powerful weapons. God flowed mightily through the worship and praise of the people of God and brought, by his grace and his mercy, and through their worship, brought great, great victory to the children of Judah through this incident. Go back and read and meditate on this passage when you have opportunity. Again, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 through 30. As usual, as we conclude the broadcast, if you're listening and you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is a great, great day to give your life to Christ and be saved. Would you simply pray this prayer with me if you would? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so very much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived, you died on the cross to pay for my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. Lord, I repent of all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I'm calling on your name. Save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be sure, if you pray that prayer and receive Christ today, please email us at jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. We'd like to share with you some literature that'll help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Or if you'd like some of the prayer tools and discipleship tools that we provide, whoever you may be listening, we're glad to share them with you as well. And of course, if you want to get a copy of the article we read earlier, An Attitude of Gratitude is Its Own Reward, again, same email, jparker@afa.net. We'd be glad to send it to you. Thanks for listening. As always, we appreciate you listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.